This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9.
Freshly dug Joycast.
We thought we'd have a word with Harley Dennett, our correspondent in Washington, particularly after we saw Dan Choi, the out gay Marine who's been fighting Don't Ask, Don't Tell, chain himself to the railings at the White House. Good morning, Harley.
Good morning, Doug.
Now, it seems like activism's coming back into fashion over there.
Yes, Dan Choi, I should just correct you, he was in the Army, not the Marine.
Sorry.
He was a graduate from West Point, so it's sort of the highest military training that you can get in that branch in the US.
Yes, he talks quite a lot about their honour code and, you know, that it says I shouldn't lie, so why am I being made to lie here, yeah?
Yeah, there's been a lot made about that honour code with testimony before the Senate on this issue, and so he decided to get back to that grassroots activism approach, and he's chained himself to the White House fence and got himself arrested in the process. We haven't seen that in the US in a long, long time. It's gay rights campaigning over here is sort of turned into a professional activity run by a couple of very well-funded groups, like the Human Rights Campaign, which has a annual budget over $45 million, largely from donations. So they do a lot of on-the-hill kind of activism of sorts, although it's a different kind of activism. And that's turning into a... It's one kind of activism that doesn't resonate as well. It doesn't come across on the camera very well. You can't really get involved with it if you're passionate about an issue.
Well, the Human Rights Campaign thing is very much kind of black tie affair these days, isn't it? You've got to be pretty wealthy to be on the board, and either wealthy or able to raise huge amounts of money. What does it say? You've got to raise about $100,000 or donate $100,000 per year. That's one person to get on the board. So this is not going to be the kind of people who are going to be waving placards in the streets, is it?
No, they could get arrested.
and might spoil their Gucci shoes or whatever they wear nowadays in New York or Washington or wherever.
Yes, it's a completely different crowd, and you have to understand that the types of people who are passionate about this issue are not typically the inside of Washington types, the types that will go along to those black tie events. We're talking about people who have previously served, who are a bit more blue collar, people who stand up for issues and are not afraid to walk the walk as well as talk the talk.
Indeed.
So when Dan Choi did this, he caused waves. A lot of backlash against the Human Rights Campaign, which is now being called the Human Rights Champagne, for that style. And but a lot of the criticism is now based upon the fact that the Human Rights Campaign isn't actually getting results. The White House is effectively, through its Department of Justice, defending Don't Ask, Don't Tell now. There's a court case over in California, which I'm hoping to get across to. It's the federal court where the Log Cabin Republicans, that's the gay conservative group that's ostensibly part of the Republican Party, is challenging Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the federal courts on the basis that gay soldiers not being able to be out about their sexuality are having their First Amendment rights infringed.
Right.
Which is an interesting argument. I haven't heard that one before.
No, it's a bit... But kind of what you would expect coming from Republicans, I guess.
and that's the thing that works over here. That's what it's all about here. You need to win over the Republicans because the Democrats don't have enough votes to get rid of it by themselves.
Yeah.
If you look at the Senate, they just lost their majority, because it all comes down to the Senate now.
Yes.
They've just lost their supermajority of 60 votes out of 100. They've now only got 59.
Yep.
So they can't push legislation through like they could before. So there's no chance that they will they'll be able to get this through without some kind of Republican help. Mm. And the arguments to reach Republicans are things like First Amendment, or it's harming national security. And at the moment, neither the Human Rights Campaign nor the Democrats are particularly selling on that point. They're talking about fairness, which we can understand, but it's the wrong targeting the wrong people.
I suppose it's inevitable that pressure groups that form and become successful and grow and sort of attach themselves to a particular political party are always in danger of being captured by that political party and from then on operating like insiders. I mean, we've seen that happen with, to some extent, with particularly in New South Wales with Rainbow Labour, haven't we? Where there's been a tendency, particularly again in New South Wales, for there to be no criticism of the way the Labour Party's handling gay reform, because the organisations, the gay organisations in that state, have gotten basically far too close to the party. And isn't this what's happening here, that the groups like the HRC and that have become like too much part of the democratic machine?
I would certainly say so. I mean, my experience in Sydney certainly bore that out, that a lot of the organisations there, because you have a few very gay-friendly members of the Labor Party in the state, they align themselves, and then there can be no criticism. In DC, where so much of this lobbying is about personal personal connections within parties, the fact that HRC was able to get Barack Obama to attend their annual dinner, champagne, of course.
He came to dinner.
He was the first US president to do so, and he promised that he would repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He hasn't yet, and he's sort of still defending it, and he's made some slight changes, but he is still defending it. He hasn't come through with his promise, so they won't criticise him because he attended their dinner. I'm not sure that we would put up with that in Australia. I'm not sure that we would accept somebody saying they'd do something and then not criticising them because they say
they came to one of your meetings. Program. Yes, or indeed because they came on your radio station. We'd still criticise them. Well, so where do you think this is leading? I mean, you're saying that this business about don't ask, don't tell. I mean, the HRC are not really very keen on don't ask, don't tell, it seems to me. They don't really have it as a major priority. They're more focused on the Non-Discrimination Act, and that again mirrors what's happening here in Australia. All the activists here are saying what we need to work on is to get Labor to get the Anti-Discrimination Act up, and don't rock the boat and talk about other things like marriage, for example.
That's a problem that all these organisations, once they become professional, have that they the people who get on the board that decide these things, and in America, yes, you have to know that $100,000 to make that decision. Not everyone in the community is going to agree, so we need those ground roots activism as well.
And now we're starting to get it in the US.
We're starting to get it in the US, but haven't we seen a lot of that in Australia as well? Didn't Melbourne have thousands hit the streets for marriage, which...
Indeed, that's kind of escaped its progenitors, hasn't it, the Equal Marriage Campaign. In fact, we're about to have another rally as well on May the 15th, and we'll see how that goes. There was one in Sydney very recently, there was one in Canberra. Melbourne seems to be the one that pulls out the biggest crowds for equal marriage. I suspect that's got to do with the fact that Joy's in Melbourne, and a lot of people listen to us.
And you can promote it, so absolutely. I'm not sure that you can have the same level of enthusiasm when the organisations that are running these things are considered part and parcel of the government of the day, or the party that is running the government of the day, and can't have full-throated criticism of current policy.
Mm. Mm. And of course, the other trouble is, of course, we don't have the same level of cashed up gay millionaire types in anything like the same numbers here, and when we do, they're not particularly interested in politics for the most part. If they voted for anything, they'd probably vote for the Liberals.
That does happen to a little degree in the US, but you have to understand that the Republican Party here has been so much more homophobic, has spent years vilifying the gays,
yep,
far more than the Liberal Party has in Australia. So a lot of the big conservatives, like Andrew Sullivan, who's one of the big blogger conservatives, has a huge following in the US, has publicly distanced himself from the Republican Party because they just insulted him one too many times. Which means that I am constantly trying to interview or finding more people to interview within the Log Cabin Republicans because I think they are the most fascinating people in the country. That contradiction.
Well, I was, you know, it's like a bit like my job here. You know, you can get Greens to come on the radio station at the drop of a hat. It now seems that the Liberal Party is actually starting to turn up in numbers to talk to me. The people who are reluctant are the Labour Party. Which strikes me as very, very bizarre, since they want us to be so very grateful for their 85 reforms and whatever else. But you know, you ask for a Labour bigwig, and it's like pulling teeth trying to get them to talk to you.
I think that it would be very good to get Nicola Roxon to speak publicly about some of the things within the health, the federal health scheme, because when. She is, of course, known for being the Labour Party minister who were first opposed same-sex marriage,
yeah.
And now she's having to implement GLBT health reforms at a federal level. It would be very interesting to hear whether or not she could front up on that.
Well, I'll add her to the list of invitees. I've also been told I ought to invite Steve Fielding on the programme, but I think I'm going to pass on that one for the moment. It might be amusing, but I don't know. It'd be terribly enlightening. Well, it looks like you're in for interesting times over there in Washington, Harley, and please keep us informed.
In California.
Okay, that's Harley Dunnett over in Washington, D.C. You know, whether it's don't ask, don't tell in the U.S. or getting full equality here or just getting people to get gay issues into account when they're formulating policy, there always seems to be something else more important that takes priority.
Joy 94.9.
Freshly dug Joycast.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.